Hey everybody, it's Colin McMahon. We're here for Pittsburgh podcast number 4, or as we may start calling it, the PCP. Lots of stuff going on in the news this week. DC has kind of made a mess of all the message boards, and it's in a good way, at least in my opinion. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of the big stuff going on in Marvel with Flash or with Fear Itself and some of their other titles. And we're going to talk about Flashpoint, and then we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we like that may not be the mainstream stuff, because I know Joe has something he's excited about.
Oh.
So what I figured we'd kind of, just as a group, kind of go around, I was just going to go over the DC relaunch. Lots of things have changed since last week. Lots of information's come out. As of right now, according to DC, I went through their board. And we have 39 of the 52 titles that have been announced. So there's still more to come next week, or the rest of the week. So I'm excited. Lots of stuff. I'm scared to death about ordering this stuff. Trying to figure out numbers is going to be a nightmare. But I have a plan for that I'll get to later. But I figured right now we just kind of start off going. And I just made a list of the titles as they were announced. So we kind of have just a little discussion. You know, not too much time. Just kind of a quick, what do you think? So the first one, brand new Justice League, Geoff Johns, Jim Lee. What does everybody think?
You can't lose if it comes out on time.
I don't think they're going to mess that up.
Not thrilled with Jim Lee. I've never been. Too much Marvels, 90 Marvels.
Oh, you know what? We didn't introduce everybody. Let me start off. I'm Colin McMahon.
Matt Lytle. Dave Marinick.
Sean Sisson.
Joe Fellow.
Sugar Shane.
And our two callers.
I'm Nick Borelli, at Nick Borelli.
I'm Sean Wheatley, live from San Francisco.
Okay.
I'm live from Cleveland.
I'm sorry.
That is cool.
Okay. Okay, Nick.
The globe of comic goodness tonight.
Okay, let's hit our callers.
Just the case.
Justice League, what do you guys think?
Sean, you want to go first?
Sure. Can someone explain to me the whole Gatling gun construct?
Well, Jim Lee's a big Civil War fan, so he... No, it... He's just trying to make something exciting for the first picture. And, you know, boxing gloves have been used, so...
It's in the trailer.
Yeah, it's in the movie, so maybe that's why they threw that in there.
It's totally out of character for Hal Jordan. Although,
True.
You know, it might appeal to new audiences.
He's in the Air Force.
But Johns doesn't know much about Green Lantern, so... I'm sure he's going to write him very out of character.
Well, it's grounded.
I was a member of Heat.
Oh, so we should be good then.
Okay, Wonder Woman.
The thing is that, this book hasn't been relevant since it was first revamped, so
yeah.
Anything to put characters that people care about and some attention to it and not just have it be the leftovers from every other crossover is a good thing.
Yeah, that's been my problem with it. I stopped reading it when it was Vixen and Her Amazing Friends with Dr. Light. And so I was thrilled when I saw this because just my opinion is Justice League should be read by every DC superhero fan, just like Avengers should be read by every Marvel superhero fan. And they need to make the books that important. And it looks like that's kind of the attitude they took. We have Bruce, Diana, Clark, you know, everybody's back in, all the big names.
Cyborg.
Well, you know, I don't mind Cyborg. That's fine.
I don't mind him either.
No, I think that's a good way trying to get new people in, the younger people who are more familiar with him than they might be with some of the other characters.
Where's Martian Manhunter?
Brave and the Bold.
Oh, he's dead.
Every issue since then.
He's back.
Yeah. Oh, Martian Manhunter. Yeah, but I mean, like Hawkman, you know, the... Not everybody's
well,
going to know who the Hawkman is.
There's 18 people on the team, too. We're just seeing the cover with
right.
Five of them.
Yeah.
So some of those people may be in it.
Although they may be counting the second and third Justice League books, Justice League International and Justice League Dark.
That's true.
That could be.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But, I mean, the solicits are not yet, so we'll know later, but just the initial look looks good. Okay, next book, Wonder Woman, Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chang. I'm really excited.
I was going to say, this is the one I'm most excited about. Out of all the books.
Why is that?
Azzarello.
Uh-huh. Azzarello's a good writer. Cliff Chang is an amazing artist. Nick posted
amazing
a picture
artist.
Yesterday that it will be my new wallpaper of basically, what is it, Wonder Woman, Black Canary, and someone
Zatanna
else in a band.
And,
you know, just
Zatanna.
A great, great picture.
I always liked how Cliff Chang, he draws pictures, he draws art, but it just ends up being colored shapes.
Yeah,
he doesn't
it's
always
clean.
Have black lines.
Yeah, very clean.
He has a Batman black and white statue coming out that's really cool, too.
Cool. Is that the one with the guns?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's crazy.
Okay, Aquaman, Geoff Johns, Ivan Reis. Basically, your Green Lantern team now doing Aquaman.
It's about time we got somebody a top-notch creative team on Aquaman.
Well, they've had... I remember when they relaunched it after Infinite Crisis, it was Kurt Busiek writing it, but that was just... I tried to read that. I couldn't figure out for the life of me what was going on.
Well, if you want to have a big-time character from, you know, the Golden Age or Silver Age be relevant again, Jeff Johns has a pretty decent track record.
Yeah.
How do you make Aquaman relevant, though? I mean, it's like making Namor relevant in his own
world. Yeah, well,
it's
we'll
a
see.
Challenge.
But in current years, they have started making Namor more relevant.
In his own book. He can't support his own book.
No, he can't support his own book. He's great as part of the team.
Yeah, and I think Aquaman's going to be the same way.
Well, but like this week, Aquaman, the Aquaman Flashpoint book, is the one I most want to read.
So, if they keep Emperor Aquaman as the character,
maybe
like
they
he's
will.
Still the badass that he has a Flashpoint, then I think it might be a
good same
book.
Writer. So,
basically, make him Namor. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, emo. Yeah. Okay, The Flash, Francis Manapole, Brian Bucatello or Bucalato. Yeah, that one I don't know. Nick, I know you're a Flash guy.
I'm a huge Flash fan. I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to put it... This book looks like it's on the back burner when it was... when Jeff Johns was taking this book on again, he at first made it look like it was going to be this big DC book, and then it sort of trailed off. I think this is... it's relegating it to a second-tier character, but that's just my opinion. I don't know. I'm not that excited so far.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I agree with that. The... how many number one issues have they had with The Flash lately? You know, none of them can get past number 12 even, and taking Jeff Johns off the book doesn't give me a lot of confidence for it, especially with the artist, right?
Yeah, so that's a point I have with some of the books they're coming out with. Artists don't make great writers, so just because you're a great artist, don't let them write a book.
You know, that was actually a point that I wanted to follow up on. All of the artists that they have as writers are being teamed with an established writer.
This one.
Not this one.
Who are we talking about?
Francis Manapole.
I don't know that he's ever written anything before.
Well, what my point is like Ethan Van Sciver is being teamed with Gail Simone.
Which she doesn't need any help.
And there is another one, yeah.
He's new. He's a relatively new writer. He's only written like a one-page
story. Look
at
David Fisk, right? I mean, that book's been two issues, not exciting, and
well, the book itself is fine, but the gap is killing that one. But we'll get to that. That's later. That's the next one. I love that. It's like striking at the heart of my collecting. Fury of Firestorm, and that was one of the first number ones I ever bought.
Very excited.
Yeah, Ethan Van Sciver, Gail Simone. I don't know Yildiray Cinar, but I know Gail Simone said it was great. The art was fantastic. I just wonder if Ethan's going to write one of the characters and Gail's going to write one of the other. You know, the other one, so they can actually be fighting in the head of Firestorm.
Oh. What a cool idea.
You know, especially because they're so opposite, at least politically, they're
literally
very opposite.
Voices.
Yeah, so that could be interesting how they do that.
Ethan Van Sciver is an idea guy, too. This guy is just overflowing with ideas. Anybody who's ever talked to him at a convention knows that this guy just, you know, nonstop with ideas. New stuff, new ideas. This guy should be in charge of the whole DC universe.
And I'm going to read it for Gail Simone. Because I like everything she's written at this point, so...
Yeah, that's... I'm not as familiar with Firestorm as some of the other characters, but because Gail Simone is attached to it, I'm going to at least give it a try.
Here's one that got a lot of play with a different writer attached to it, Savage Hawkman. I know James Robinson, they had his name attached to it. But it's going to be done by Tony Daniel with Philip Tan drawing it. Those two... I don't know.
Was really excited for a new Hawkman book. Until I saw the creative team, and it's not that they're bad; it's neither one of them excel. They're just
medium tier.
Yeah.
And Tony Daniel's now doing a Batman book where he's writing and drawing and writing this.
Mm-hmm.
He can't write and draw a book and do well at it. He's not going to be able to write two and draw another one and do it well.
I'm hoping Jeff Johns has a strong editorial hand on this because. You know, his JSA return of Hawkman was really, really quite good in the ways he made the almost unapproachable continuity of Hawkman seem somewhat approachable. And this storyline seems to be really approachable, approaching Justice League Unlimited level approachable. So, if it's Indiana Jones of the superhero sect, I'm cool with that.
Cool. Okay, Green Arrow, J.T. Kroll, Dan Juergens, kind of feels like it's just continuing what's going on right now, which actually has been selling very well for me. For Green Arrow numbers, it's probably twice of what it was doing before it became Green Arrow, Black Canary, and everything. But I don't know if it was just the Brightest Day tie-in that got people buying it, but if it keeps at the level it's at, I'm thrilled, because that's taking a, you know, a C-list, C-tier book, and it's up, you know, solid B-tier. It's, you know, actually it's selling around Superman numbers for me, but Superman numbers are bad.
So is he still a killer right now?
Yes.
I'm hoping maybe they'll change some of that. I was thinking about that yesterday, actually. I'm like...
I gave up on that when he started, you know, I went through that storyline with his son and the arm and...
Yeah.
And the whole thing, and when push came to shove, he's just like...
Well, the arm's back, though, so...
I'm going to start killing people, and I'm going to lie to the Justice League about it, so...
Yeah, but that, maybe that's one of the things where they're saying it's not a reboot, it's just a relaunch. Maybe that's something they'll clean up. Didn't happen. We'll move on. You know,
I think they'll do that.
Yeah, this relaunch does give him a chance to change some things that didn't go over well.
I like the idea of him being a killer and repenting and showing the dark side of a hero. I mean, if you were put in the situation he was in, you'd probably kill the dude too. I mean, I would.
I don't know if the Androgynous is
going to kill him.
Nice. Let who kill him?
Jason Todd.
Oh, there. Well, yeah. See, there you go. You want your killer, you got Jason Todd.
I just don't know if Dan Jurgens is a good fit for the book, if it's going to go in that. Mm-hmm. In that.
What does everybody think of the Smallville costume he's wearing?
Yeah, well...
Dark and gritty.
Yeah.
Pouches.
Yeah. Pouches. Stop it.
I have a problem with a lot of the new costume designs, but once again, it's a Jim Lee 90s thing.
Yeah,
they all look like they just stepped out of Marvel in the 90s.
Yeah, but it's just covers so far, and it's just the initial.
The book itself may be fine. Looking at the covers, it's like some of those costumes, even which we'll get to, obviously, Teen Titans, but even that cover looks like an old X-Force cover.
Looks like an old Wildcats cover.
Yeah. It looks like an old Wildcats cover, yeah. Exactly.
With Superboy in his barcode scan, barcode tattoo.
Ugh.
Okay,
that's
stop.
The one I'm the most vocal on, but I'll tell you, the one thing I'm not a big fan of is having Jim Lee do all of the costumes. You can like them or love them, you're putting all your eggs in one artistic basket. So if you don't like him, you're out. 52 bucks.
Yeah.
Well, of design.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. Okay, next one people have really been, I've heard a lot of talk about, Justice League International. People really liked Generation Lost. They're actually a little bummed that, what's his name? Winnick isn't writing it, but hey, Jurgens, that'll work. Aaron Lopresti is a good artist, so this one looks like fun.
I hope they keep it fun, like the JLI of the past, where, I mean, because it was always a lighthearted book.
Right on.
That's a great book.
More Booster in there.
I just love there's General August in Ironhide. How cool is that? He's not in every other book.
It's a good international team. I guess they say that every country gets different countries get their own member. I think that's kind of cool.
Yep. Okay, now this next book, Mr. Terrific, kind of clarified for me how they went about this, which kind of really made me happy. I don't know Eric Wallace or Roger Robinson at all, so I don't know how the book's going to go, but... What it made me realize is that this isn't just an editorial, okay, we need a new Justice League, Aquaman, you know, they wanted all these books. The impression I got when seeing this book itself was that they probably went to all their writers and said, give me a pitch. Give me a book that you're interested in doing. And because I can't imagine there's an editor that said, we need a Mr. Terrific book.
Well, and Gail Simone kind of indicated that about pitching against other people on Twitter this week, like saying, sorry, my pitch won, and things like that.
Because that might have been what happened with the James Robinson Hawkman. He thought he was writing it when he was actually just giving a pitch. But the idea, and especially when we get later into the dark stuff, some of those books, there's no way somebody said we need a Frankenstein book. But something happened, some pitch came that sounded so great that they decided to go with it, and that gives me hope that it's going to be a really cool book as opposed to just a paint-by-numbers, boring book. Same with Captain Atom, J.T. Krull, Freddie Williams. Not exciting me at all, but there has to be some reason they decided to come out with it.
Yeah, there's no money being made on Captain Atom.
No.
They're not.
it's not just from, like, let's sell more Captain on Beach Tiles.
Right, but what if...
Somebody must have had a passion.
Yeah, and I mean, and what I kept saying was, what if it turns into the next Starman? You know, what if it's somebody, it's just an idea, Starman rolled out a Zero Hour as a book.
The whole week. That's the book I want, is something like that.
Yeah, and I think they're definitely giving some shots to some writers to say, okay, give me your best shot. You know, we're going to give you, you know, however long they've committed to this. So, that's good. And the next book makes me excited, too, DC Presents. I like the idea of an anthology book, only in the sense that Deadman, I don't think, could carry a miniseries or his own series. But he was very popular during Brightest Day. So give him a little, you know, I don't know how many issues this is, but a little six-issue arc in this. Paul Jenkins writing it, you know, he can do, you know, a small run I can take. Some of his other stuff I haven't been a big fan of, but like Sentry I thought was a great story, the initial one, and I loved his Inhumans. So, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I love Deadman. This one does definitely interest me.
This one has me excited because I think that if they're going to introduce some new continuity and some revamps, being able to do some of the characters that don't have their own books, you know, and polish them in this book would be kind of cool too.
Very much. Okay, now we get to the Green Lantern family. Not a whole lot of changes other than we have the Green Lantern book, which is going to be Hal, and that's Geoff Johns and Doug Mankey. Green Lantern Corps, which is Guy and John with Peter Tomasi and Fernando Passarin and Scott Hanna. Green Lantern New Guardians, which is Kyle and the rest of the Rainbow Coalition. Tony Bedard and Tyler Kirkham and Bat. And then we have the Red Lantern book that we've been hearing for a while with Peter Milligan and Ed Bennis. I don't know, as long as they don't screw up the Green Lantern thing, I think everything's been going fine. I like the idea of the Red Lantern book. It's just funny, somebody just yesterday was asking what happened with Lobo getting the Red Lantern, his red ring. And I'm like, well, here we go. You know, here's where he's probably going to pop up. Yeah, he still has it, and here's where he might pop up.
Very happy they decided not to change much of the Green Lantern stuff.
See, yeah. I've felt Green Lantern since the end of Blackest Night has just been a boring, run-of-the-mill, routine, mid-level book. And
well,
I did think it was getting that
continuity
way.
Continuity doesn't need cleaned up, though.
But no. I think a War of the Lanterns has been good.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the idea of Kyle being like a part of the Guardians, like part of like the structure. I think it's fantastic.
Well, and the same, Core, they said, is going to be a strike force, which I thought was kind of interesting, instead of just the book about all the other lanterns and trying to squeeze as many as they could in.
New Guardians is the one I'm the most interested, because I echo the sentiments about Kyle. He was the torchbearer, you know, he was the only Green Lantern for a while, so him being the only Green Lantern in a group of other lanterns, you know, makes sense.
Yeah, and I kind of hope they leave the events for a little bit and let these books kind of grow on their own. Like, Emerald Warriors really never had a chance to be its own book. It was always part of something else that was going on. So it'd be nice if they let these four books just kind of grow and let's see what becomes of them.
They never really even finished the storyline for Emerald Warriors, too. It started out, they were supposed to be exploring the other sectors, like the ones that not numbered, and then out of nowhere, they just all started jumping into this war with Corona, and so just never really finished all that.
Yeah, what happened to Bleeze or whatever.
Right, yeah. He kind of flew off, and that was last we've seen him.
Yeah. So, but my guess is also, because one thing they mentioned, Comics Pro, we had the big meeting I went down to in Dallas in February, and we kind of went, you know, how did you guys sit on a podium for an entire day knowing all this was going on and not even hint it to us? And they actually said, no, we didn't know this was going on. You know, we had rumblings about it, there were discussions, but the decision to do this hadn't been made then. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe as they started Emerald Warriors, it had a different purpose, and then they just decided, okay, let's wrap everything up in August.
Like Batman Inc.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think they did that with I think over the course of finding out that they were going to do Flashpoint and this relaunch, they did that with quite a few of the books, because Flash was one of them that sort of just tailed off.
Yeah.
Well, and the one thing I've noticed in the solicits, and Nick kind of echoed my opinion on Twitter, was that they're letting these books ride out the rest. Like, you look at the creative teams, and it's not Gail Simone on Birds of Prey anymore. It's not the big names that were on the books anymore. They're really focusing on the relaunchers. Well, no names on the books for the last couple
of months. One of the reviews I read earlier today, and I can't remember which book it was from. It was from one of the DC books that came out today. And that's what they said in it, was it just seemed like, all right, you know, we're just going to put this book out so that there's something out there. We're not just leaving it blank for a couple of months until September. But it didn't seem to do anything, tie anything up. It was just sort of there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some of that where a lot of them are wrapping up storylines. And then I think a lot of the storylines are going to continue because they said it's not a reboot. You know, what happened in the issue before will affect what comes next.
Maybe.
We'll find out. But, yeah, overall.
It's good that sometimes they're not going to because books like Justice League and, you know, Green Arrow, they're not going anywhere right now, so they may as well start over.
Yeah. Superman, you know, has limped to its finish of the Straczynski run, and, you know, that's a perfect candidate for let's completely restart everything, and they can make any changes to that. And
including the devil making him not married.
That could work, too. I hope it's not the devil. I hope they, you know, at least go with something different.
Is Straczynski on any of the new books so far?
No, Straczynski, he's working on Year One, or Earth One, or whatever.
Wonder Woman and Superman both flopped with his storylines.
Well, I mean, I know some people like the Wonder Woman. The Superman, their schedule just killed that book. Missing a month and then a fill-in, and I had a lot of people drop it because of that. So I'm thrilled
to make it
relevant.
A couple books to tell, not like a year.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman would make a good Elseworld story. It's just not a... I don't think it's a good core continuity story.
I think it started out good, like the first, like, maybe even six, but now it's on, like, let's say, like, 11, and it's still the exact same story. Like, wrap it up. It's got something new. Like, costume's great. The idea was cool, but just, like, enough.
Yeah.
Part 11 of Odyssey.
Yeah, let's
right.
stop.
I mean, they already have one trade out, and they're still continuing on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, let's stop the year-long storylines because it's really hard to get somebody into a book. I mean, I remember when Superman wasn't even in his own book for a year, and it's like, okay, I really like Superman. Do you have anything good? Well, not right now.
That said, action with Paul Cornell and Lex Luthor was, in my opinion, I loved it.
Okay,
I agree, Nick. That was one of the best books. That
I didn't
read Superman
at all.
Okay. Well, next. Okay, now we get into the Bat Family, which is still quite a lot of books.
Well,
not in a bad way. As long as they keep them, like right now with each one having its own voice, I'm liking that. Like right, Batman. I'm really excited about Scott Snyder's been killing Detective, and Greg Capullo. I mean, he was doing Spawn when I first was reading Spawn, and the idea of that cape coming to Batman is tremendously
really
exciting.
I am very excited about this book.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what they're gonna do. How they're gonna finish? If they're doing Batman Inc., but then they said there's only gonna be one Batman left. Like, how the hell is that gonna work out? Like, there's only supposed to be Bruce Wayne. No,
yep.
Dick Grayson. Like, what's he doing then?
Well, we'll get to that.
We'll find out in a second.
Yes, we will. And then Detective Tony Daniel basically just switching from Batman to Detective. I don't quite get that unless he has, because I really like the Commissioner Gordon aspect of Detective. So unless he has a plan to incorporate that like Snyder did, I'm not super thrilled that they switched titles.
I think the switch was just to make the Batman book their main book.
Okay.
Because obviously Scott Snyder is going to draw a lot more than Tony Daniels.
Right, yeah. And then Batman and Robin, Peter Tomasi, Pat Gleason. I know they had done a run. I kind of got off Batman and Robin, so I haven't read it in a while.
I didn't read any of them. From my understanding, they did two issues.
Okay. Maybe then.
This is the most telling of current continuity that Damian Wayne will be Robin.
Yes.
That was something that I was kind of scared about because I thought he would be out, and I really started to love him.
Right. And, I think definitely he's a fun character, and I think it's going to be even more. As much fun with him and Bruce, whereas he bickered so much with Dick, all of a sudden
too
having the father
characters.
Figure that he's never known, how is he going to take to that? And how is Bruce going to respond to him?
Does anybody think that the dynamic of Batman and Robin, where one is gritty and one is like kind of fun-loving and enjoys what he does, that was flip-flop with Dick and Damian, is now going to be two gritty characters and that's going to be too much?
Could be. We'll see.
But that's the thing, too, with this being a revamp or a relaunch. There's no saying that they're going to make both these characters gritty now.
Oh, good point.
Damian Wayne's really evolved over the course of the Batman and Robin title, too. Like, there's been some times where Damian Wayne questioned Dick Grayson, and Dick responded saying, you know what, if Bruce was here, he wouldn't put up with this. So now we get to see what would happen if Bruce actually were there.
Yeah. I remember, where he says, you're not comfortable wearing the costume, give it to me. So, well, he's not going to say that.
He's got the attitude of Namor, and he's an 8-year-old kid. I love it.
Right.
I think it's amazing how people have come to accept him as Robin,
Quickly.
quickly with the type of, and you kind of root for him a little bit, even though he's such a brat.
Yeah, even when he had his spine replaced. Yeah.
Right. killed that guy in the first run.
Yeah.
The ghost.
Yeah. Okay, next one, Batman Dark Knight. Yeah. David Finch, Jay Faber. I know Jay Faber was added as the artist when they resolicited at least number four. So I don't know what to make of this. Are they just going to reprint one and two and start over again? Or
they said that one and two are considered, get this, volume one.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
But that's one, you know, you have to look at, you know, DC going, you know, they tried. You know, I give them credit. They said, hey, David Finch, he wants to do a Batman book. Great. The fact that he didn't put out, I think, is a big part of one of the things. I think The Beat had it, saying that they're requiring by August 31st three issues in the can already sent to DC.
Well, you have to imagine Jim Lee's part of the reason for that too, right?
Well, yeah, but I'd say it would be more getting burned with stuff like this. Yeah. They don't want to stumble out of the block. At least they know for the first 3 months they're going to hit their dates. Nobody can criticize them on that, you know, missing number two. So, and then they can go. I think next book's Batman. Or Batwoman. So I think that's kind of what happened with that. They went, you know what, you're late. We have this idea. We're relaunching. Keep working. Because I remember when they said they pushed it back to the fall. I'm thinking, why did they push it back to the fall? Well, this is why. So now
where's
maybe...
Where's All-Star Batgirl?
What?
Where's All-Star Batgirl?
Yeah.
All-Star anything?
Yeah. Well, again, talking to Didio, he says, you know, he tried to bring in the top talent, and they burned him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no reason those books can't continue. There's no reason All-Star Wonder Woman can't still come out if Hughes wants to do it.
I was going to say, Hughes
just
has been
do it
right after
like, like they did Earth 1 Superman. Just put a book out whenever
yeah.
it's ready.
Yeah.
It'll sell.
Yeah.
So, Colin.
Yeah.
This is Sean. Since we talked last week, I believe the announcement came out that those, at least the first issues, are going to be returnable.
Some, it's a three-prong attack of what they're doing. Some are going to have variants basically attached to help us hit numbers. I think six of the first 52 are going to be like that. Five of them, they're going to give us extra, deeper, bigger discounts to encourage us to order more. And then 41 of them are going to be returnable. Now, returnable sounds great. It's not that great. We have to pay 10% return fee, so it's basically 30 or 40 cents a book to send it back. Which is just, you know, strictly pure lost money. So, well, we only have to send back the covers, so, I mean, it's a little bit of postage. That's not a big deal. But, you know, in things where, you know, if it's something I was only going to order 20 of, I'm not going to turn around and order 100 of, because I can send back 80. Well, that's great.
Give away coverless books or get kids hooked.
Well, that's true. It helped with me. But
yeah,
technically,
you have to sign a... They didn't say you had to sign
certificate
a...
Certificate of destruction.
Yeah, destruction. Well, yeah. But
yeah.
The returnability isn't that great of an option. I was just reading on a retailer site, Brian Hibbs, post about that, and he's like, well, that's great, but he's like, Mr. Terrific, I'm thinking I might sell five or six, but with this big promotion, I might want to have 20 or 30 on the shelf in case. Returnable is great, but the cost of returning those 15 that don't sell negates even selling those five. So it's, and who has the money to put up front for 20 copies of that book times 52. That's part of the scary thing. So those are good, and DC's definitely trying. I'd much rather have the deeper discount, only in the sense where I have to sell, as it is now, let's say I have to sell half of them to break even. With the deeper discount, maybe I only have to sell a third to break even.
There's just so many more books. That's the problem.
That's the scary thing. You know, trying to order 52 number ones, even with, you know, if they throw variants on some of them.
I mean, you need people that buy books to buy more books, not buy different books for this to work.
Right, right. And I need more new people in. So that's what's going to get. I'm going to order more of a Superman number one, a Batman number one, in the hopes that the new guy comes off the street. I hear there's a new Superman book, and I can put that in their hand, and I want to have them in stock. But my fear also is, am I going to, you know, if I double my order on Superman, am I still going to have a third of those left? You know, it's a real guessing game.
Well, no, it's funny you mention that, because today, since I was here in San Francisco, I actually went over to the Isotope for New Comic Day. And in addition to the list of stuff I was going to get, I had a list of the stuff I'm no longer getting just so I can keep up with Fear Itself and Flashpoint. I started that exercise now because I was kind of curious as what's going to happen when all these new DC books come out. It would be nice if they offered a package for, like, for you guys at the retailers, for your subscription or your pull list people, to say, hey, if you, you know, you can get all 52 issues for $100 or, you know, something like that, mm-hmm. flat out. And then,
yeah.
That would definitely help with the initial pre-order.
That's a smart way to do it, yeah.
Yeah. But
the
again,
chances
I mean,
of me picking up issue 2 and 3 across the board is going to increase because, you know, chances are I'm going to like one or more of the books that I probably wouldn't have gotten without the deal, I would think.
Right. Right. I was going to offer something, probably not that quite that drastic. It would be nice if DC offered us something like that. But what I was going to do is give an extra 10% off anybody who pre-orders any of the number ones, just so I can try to get an idea of interest, especially on some of these smaller books. And then I was also going to make them fully returnable, not for money, but if you didn't like that one, you can grab any of the other number ones.
That's a cool idea.
To try. But I can't officially roll that out until the previews comes out and I get the information in the computer and can actually start doing this. But I figured that was a good idea, just a good way to try to get the books into the people's hands. And I put it on DC then to make you guys want number 2. I can't control that, but I can do everything I can to get number 1 into your hand.
Will you be able to change your FOC before?
Here's the problem. FOC for number 2 will be the Thursday after number 1 comes out. So that's a really small window to know if people are going to want number 2.
Are you going to reach out to any of the local media in Pittsburgh for when that first wave of books hit, you know, because, you know, it really does mark the beginning of that digital, you know, the digital age, and it did, you know,
play that up.
It got a lot of coverage.
Right.
USA Today and everything as well, so.
One thing DC said today in a conference call with the Comics Pro people is that they are getting, their budget for advertising on this is as much as it was for the last 6 years combined. So they're going to be doing a big media blitz for it. So I don't know. I kind of want to hear what their plans are before I do anything. Only because TV's expensive, really expensive. So, and I'm already looking at sinking thousands of dollars into these new books with no idea how they're going to sell. I don't know if I can do too much of a media blitz.
No, I meant just, you know,
press releases and stuff.
Yeah, or, you know, just if you drop a story idea sometimes, not every day is a, you know, a fast news day in Pittsburgh. And
sure.
I'm not picking on you guys, but, you know, I joke,
what?
I joke around with Matt all the time. You know, the news starts off in the morning with, you know, somebody in Shadyside getting beat with a hammer and then quickly moves to tree, you know, we have down trees on. You know,
right, and then whatever happened with the Steelers. You know, that's the Holy Trinity.
In June.
Yeah, absolutely.
John Shumway out in the rain somewhere.
Yeah, poor John. Russ Gaddotti, yeah.
I've done this before too. You go, and this is a little crazy, but I went to the library and gave out free comics, and I let the newspaper know when I was in Erie, and I just was giving out comics, and the library didn't care because it was promoting reading. I let them know ahead of time. I had a little table, and I was just giving away those 10-cent books and those 25-cent mm-hmm. books, but then also telling people about where they can get, you know, comics every other day.
Cool. There's a lot of time.
Unemployed man trade. Who?
Do I have it? Yeah, I have it.
So that creator actually set up a folding table on Market Street in San Francisco and wore the costume, and it ended up in our newspaper here.
Okay.
So, Colin, are you going to dress up as Batman? And
I was thinking Wonder Woman, but sure.
As long as it ain't Aquaman and the green tights, we'll be all right.
Okay. But yeah, no, there's lots of times, I want to hear what they're planning. I know they're going to be doing regional meetings and stuff. I might have to drive down to Baltimore to figure out what they're doing. But yeah, I mean, I definitely want to tap into it because I know a lot of the other stores won't. I know a lot of the other local stores, just talking to online, they're really concerned. And I'm like, well, I understand the concern, but I'm trying to project the excitement because I think this is awesome. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. This isn't going to happen. You know, every couple of years we're going to get a complete line. Relaunch. Well, yeah, then Marvel will do it. Or
what
Image.
What do you guys think it would take to get a member of the media in the store, you know? Do a story on that.
I don't know. We'll see. yeah.
If you feed them, they'll come.
Unfortunately, this isn't my area.
No. We actually have a member that I know.
It's all right. You can whisper in someone's ear.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
I write press releases every week, so they're not that tough.
Okay.
If you give them something that's, ties into either television or other media, because the media just likes to talk about media.
Right.
Usually they're fine. So just say, look, there's a new Green Lantern movie coming out, and there's a new Green Lantern comic book coming out, and I don't know, just something like that. Like, talk about movies, television, and that kind of stuff, and then they latch onto it.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of biffs and pals in the story.
Yeah, sadly, but that's okay. We'll take anything we can get at this point. But no, yeah, I definitely, like I said, I just want to see what they're planning, see what they're going to help us with, so.
You guys have laid out the gauntlet. I'm going to see if I can get John Shumway.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay.
I'm sure all it'll take is a hoagie and a bottle of scotch, but.
Ooh, scotch, right?
You know, I didn't even think about the bottle of scotch. You might be onto something there, Sean.
You might want to go with Iron City, man. It's Pittsburgh.
No. We'll try to step it up. Okay, back to where we were at, just because I want to finish these things. But because the next one's really cool. Batgirl, Gail Simone. No, we talked about Batwoman. But Batgirl, that's the one, honestly, I've had the most discussion with that people are actually upset about. I had a customer in today talking about a friend of his was upset about this because she is in a wheelchair and that Oracle was someone that she could look up to. And that
she can read Venom.
What?
She can read Venom.
Well, yeah, sure, because that's a great book.
Nick, that's a character to look up to.
Nick, yeah. You know that was that article on Newsarama, right, with Jill Panazzoni?
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, he was talking about that. Yeah,
yeah.
So, I guess I can see that, but I know a lot of people are just kind of looking forward to see. I'm intrigued. What are they going to do with this?
I would have Wendy from Teen Titans that was kind of working under Oracle, just have her be the new Oracle, and there you go.
Isn't she Firewall now or something like that? Yeah. Or
pardon?
Isn't she Firewall, or is that the name of the new headquarters?
Yeah, Firewall's her name, but let's just make her the new, let's make her the new Oracle, and let's build her up or whatever, and then all of a sudden you can have both the things you want.
Wasn't that the outcome of Death of Oracle and Birds of Prey, really? I mean,
No, she's... She's been with Batgirl, and she kind of went off in the last Batgirl issue.
Well, to me, this just goes back to Johns and having all these characters, having Barry Allen come back as the Flash, having, Hal Jordan have to be back as Green Lantern and stuff. This is just his now. It has to be Barbara Gordon as Batgirl instead of Stephanie Brown or Cassandra Cain.
Yeah, well, but... I think back, but what am I excited about? Fury of Firestorm, because that was something that I was reading when I was 12.
But that's a new concept. It's got Jason in it. It's moving forward. It's not just revisiting the past. It's a hearkening to the past, but it's still about the future, where moves like putting Barbara Gordon back and putting Barry Allen back, there's two big stories that were very important to comics that they just said, well, that doesn't matter. And I know that the two roles that happened from that, being Wally West and Oracle, that's not that important. We want to go backwards.
So, Nick, I don't know about that, because I think with Babs, they've been rehabbing her in Birds of Prey and Batgirl. They've been showing her working out and going to rehab and stuff. I don't think they're just going to write off what happened to her.
It's not going to be magic like, the Peter and Mary Jane's wedding. I mean, they've been prepping you for it, but... I still think it's still a, it's not about, why does it have to be Barbara Gordon as Batgirl? That's my question. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm not, I haven't read comics with Barbara Gordon as Batgirl when they came out, so I'm not that old or whatever, but to me, she really made this role of Oracle something that was very utterly unique, and, I don't know. I think somebody else's Batgirl could be fine.
Maybe
they don't respect Barbara Gordon enough.
I think this could potentially hurt two books, though. It could hurt Batgirl from the standpoint of, now it's Barbara Gordon. People were just getting used to Stephanie Brown in that role. And a lot of people still wanted Cassandra Cain back in that role.
Yep.
And then on top of that, now you're taking Oracle away from Birds of Prey.
And you have Batwoman. Isn't it a little bit redundant to have Batgirl and Batwoman?
But they're both redheads.
Which one has a purse?
Yeah, they are both redheads. Yeah. That's redundant. And Batwoman has the Alex Ross design costume. It has. I think Batwoman has a lot more going for it. I think Batgirl, I think Barbara Gordon was a stronger character as Oracle.
We'll see. Again, let's wait and see what they do with it. You know, it's Gail Simone. You know, there has to, again, if they did this pitch idea, she had to come up with something. You know, there had to be something that they liked.
That is one saving grace for it. It's Gail Simone writing it, so I'm sure that the writing at least is going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a bad book. I just think conceptually, you know, I think it's a move backwards. But you're right. Gail Simone has more love for Barbara Gordon than any writer probably ever has.
So she's supposed to be doing an interview with Jill actually on Newsarama today. It's supposed to be published today. They did it last night. So I haven't read it yet, but it'll be interesting. And I think if Gail's going to do anything, she's going to grow the character and not just make her back to the teenage, you know, daughter of Gordon and just have her. I think she's going to grow as a character. At least I hope so.
Okay. Yeah, that's just one, you know, we'll see. Next one, Catwoman.
I read every DC book, so, you know, I'm going to have to read it either way.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Catwoman, Judd Winnick, Gillen March. I love how he draws. I don't know that we need another Catwoman this book this soon, though.
I for one, am happy there's another Catwoman book. I was disappointed when the last one was canceled.
Okay. Cool. Birds of Prey, Dwayne Swizerinski and Jesus Saez. I'm excited to see Dwayne do something.
Who's the tattoo character? Does anybody know?
Somebody online said that that is actually going to be Zatanna.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Wow. Really?
So,
yeah. I was wondering that myself, and somewhere online I read on one of the interviews that is actually Zatanna.
I thought I saw Zatanna in another title.
She's in Dirk. She's in Dirk, yeah.
Madame Xanadu is.
Oh, right.
No, I thought she was there with the... Xanadu was sitting there with the cards. And then she was to the left of her. But we'll know later when the previews come. We'll have a lot more information.
It could be Black Ellis too.
There was a story online talking about how the character in Justice League Dark had fishnets on the arms, and that there's a company wide push that no female characters will be in bikini bottoms or
which makes sense.
Skirts.
Right. Yeah.
So you know, Zatanna trademark.
They're all utilitarian
fishnets.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, sorry, Sean. Yeah.
That's news to me. I'm sorry to jump all over everybody.
Yeah, they said no more
miniskirts.
Yeah.
So that's not DC hasn't said that. That's the rumor. And Jeff Johns.
I don't remember the whole cover to the Justice League Dark. I just know reading it that Madame Xanadu was definitely in it.
Now did they say that officially, or is that just rumors?
I think it's a rumor, but they haven't announced a Supergirl book yet.
Right.
So that will
tomorrow.
It's
probably going to be tomorrow.
Superman.
They didn't announce a Superman book either.
Right. Well, the Super Family, I'm sure, is probably going to be tomorrow, Friday. Okay, and then the other big news, Nightwing. So and obviously, Dick is not going to be Batman Light anymore. So what that does to Batman Inc., I don't know. Other than the idea behind Batman Inc. just adding foreign...
Did you read about that?
What?
Batman Inc. is on hiatus until next...
Right, yeah, they're starting that back up in 2012. Yeah, but I just mean, somebody was saying, what does him not being a Batman mean for Batman Inc.? So I don't know.
Well, I don't think all the Batman around the world aren't Batman. They're just part of the network of Batman Inc. So what does it matter if he's called Batman or not? He's Nightwing, he's part of Batman Inc.
But then we have Batwing with Judd Winnick. So I don't know what to make of that.
Absolutely zero interest.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I did today.
What?
I went to a comic store and I bought a bunch of copies of Ink number 5 to speculate because it's cover price and they're laying on the shelves.
Okay.
And it's his first appearance. Who knows?
But an interesting one, next one, Red Hood and the Outlaws. Yes. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that does look pretty good.
And here's another
Outsider's book that's an actual Outsider's book.
Right, and here's a retcon. It certainly looks like Arsenal has his arm back. At least in the picture, it certainly does not look like a metal arm. So that would be something nice if they fixed that, too, because that was just bizarre.
Crime for Justice would just be erased.
Yeah. But now this is Scott Lobdell coming back, which is kind of cool, too.
So who is Scott Lobdell?
What?
Where's Garris?
Yeah, true.
So there's a guy that's not been reading comics for more than a few years. Who is Scott Lobdell? Like, what is
he was
done?
Big in Marvel, X-Books.
X.
Yeah.
I mean, is he good? I mean, like...
Yeah.
He was okay, yeah.
He's just a name. You know, he put out a lot of stuff.
His style kind of defined the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, over-the-top writing.
And Fabian.
Yeah,
that's true too.
Yep, yeah.
He's on a couple of these books mm-hmm. too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I think it's Bob Harris bringing some. I mean, he's got.
Yeah, that could be too. People he trusts. Yeah. Okay, next we get into the Dark that was announced yesterday that made me all sorts of happy. I've always been a Vertigo guy. I just always like the more off-center. And so just about every one of these books just really made me happy. Scott Snyder doing Swamp Thing with Yannick Paquette. I can't imagine a better book coming out.
The one book I am most excited about.
Yeah.
There's only one thing I don't like about that book is I think you're wasting Yannick's talent, right? I mean, he's drawn Swamp Thing. He should be drawing Catwoman, Batwoman, Batgirl.
Yeah.
I mean, he just draws such a nice... And then you're going to have him drawing, you know, Swamp
Thing. That's okay.
I don't know. I'd rather see him back.
There's women in Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
That's like...
No. Oh, you've probably never read a Swamp Thing book, have you?
I have not.
Yeah, okay. You're in for a treat.
Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Okay, next.
Cool. I agree with Colin on this. When those books were announced, the whole Dark, excited for all of them.
I'm excited because it's Scott Snyder. I mean, everything I've read of his so far has been excellent. So,
yeah.
What's your favorite of the group, Sean?
Swamp Thing by far.
Yeah?
Yeah. Although, to be honest, the Animal Man book sounds really good.
Yeah, and Jeff Lemire. You know, again, I'm guessing that was probably one of those pitched items.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like such a natural fit, especially after what he's done with Sweet Tooth.
The only one of these books I've been sort of on it, not sure if I really want or not, is Demon Knights.
Yeah, but see, then I look at that and I see Paul Cornell writing it. And
he's been so solid.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that Cornell's been writing, I have not been getting. So okay. I really haven't read anything of his.
Well, I look at this where they're saying it's set like in medieval times, and I just kind of go back. Captain Britain was where he really made a name for himself, and people knew who he was.
That was a great book.
Well, I'm sorry, Nick?
Cornell is a Brit as well. So
yes.
It seems like he gets all the Brit characters because that's his, you know, voice. And he's the other thing is he's a hardcore Doctor Who fan. And, you know, if you take that sensibility and, you know, add it into the past like that, as long as they ground it in some DCU stuff, I think the book's got a good chance.
Yep, yep. And then the other one I'm excited about is Justice League Dark with Milligan. Just looking at that lineup just looks... There's a lot they can do with that. Yeah, there's a lot they can do with that book. And next one. Yeah, here's one that is intriguing. And again, I have to say it's probably one of those pitches that just worked, was Frankenstein Agent of Shade. So it looks like we're combining Frankenstein with Shade the Changing Man.
No. He was always an Agent of Shade.
Was he? Oh, was that from the Morrison Seven? Okay. That was probably my favorite part of Seven Soldiers, was that storyline that kind of just... didn't do anything after that.
Yeah, all that Shade stuff's crazy. I mean, I mean, Freedom Fighters and the Fight for Bloodhaven. They didn't really expound upon it or finish any of it, but that Shade stuff is pretty crazy.
Okay,
Frankenstein being their agent's a cool idea.
And another one, Jeff Lemire spinning out, and he's doing the Flashpoint book. That's what I'm talking about, Sean. Yes, Frankenstein and the Creatures of the Unknown, written by Jeff Lemire.
Oh, is he writing that?
Yeah, he's writing that. So is that one of those things that's going to come through from Flashpoint? I don't know, but I'm willing to, you know, take a ride.
I did not realize he was writing
that. And this one was good. This was hilarious. I had a customer come in yesterday morning, and he was concerned about this DC thing. And I was, you know, trying to, you know, tell him it's a good thing. You know, everything's going to be fine. And one of the things I brought up was that Supergirl... No matter what happens, they change creative teams, they change artists, they have big storylines. My number never changes. And nothing they do bumps it, so they needed to do something. And he said, yeah, you know, the only issues I ever bought of that were the ones that were the Resurrection Man tie-ins. You know, whatever happened to him. So I say, you know what, let's see what announcements they made. Because he literally was in first thing in the morning. I walk over to the computer, I'm scrolling down, what do I find? I just started laughing. He's like, why? I said, look, there's a new Resurrection Man book. All of a sudden, here's a guy who was concerned, worried. Now he's excited. You know, it might be only one book, but I think one book, and also this is Abnett and Lanning, so if anybody's going to nail a book, it's these guys.
They created him, right? He created him, right?
You know, I honestly don't know. But if he did, that would be awesome. So
it was in the late 90s. It was around that, like, DC 1 million.
Yeah.
And that, like, it was a really good book.
So, you know, is this another one where they just pitched him? Because there's no way an editor said, you know, we really need to bring back Resurrection Man. You know, so there's one that's cool. And next, iVampire, Josh Filikoff. Local guy, so of course it has to be a great book. But I don't know if anybody read Echoes. I know Matt did. A really good miniseries.
Awesome miniseries, and the ending is
incredible. Yeah, and so I, you know, the fact that he's doing a book. Not yet, no. And just iVampire with the success I've had with iZombie, awesome. My only concern, everybody's saying it looks a little too Twilight-y. Yeah, we'll see.
I wouldn't be concerned about that.
No, that'll bring in other people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next one, Voodoo, somebody saw that and they went, okay, so they are bringing in some more of the Wildstorm stuff besides just the superhero stuff. And the fact you have Ron Martz and Sammy Basri, it's almost, you know, they just pulled them right out of Top Cow. So
this is the highlight of the group for me.
Okay.
I think this is a natural fit.
Okay.
I think the character deserves more more play. I think, and you know, like I said, perfect fit for the universe, perfect fit for the relaunch.
Cool. There's a Grifter rumor, too.
Yes, I heard Grifter. And I opened right as the Wildstorm or Worldstorm event was going on. And, I mean, there couldn't have been a more worse stumble than they had with that. One issue of Wildcats, two issues of Authority. And then they had Deathblow being their main book.
Grifter and Voodoo have to be the two best characters coming out of Wildstorm. Like, in our last podcast, we talked about how many of DC's characters are, you know, they're not relatable. And I think Grifter and Voodoo are perfect to bring into the DC universe to make it more grounded. Two grounded characters that are going to be interesting to read.
Well, that's one thing DC, I've noticed with some of these announcements and stuff, is the characters that seem to be getting more books are the more grounded characters.
Mm-hmm.
Are getting their own solo books.
And that, back to, can you just talk about Animal Man?
No.
I mean, that's the one
I missed that one,
I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
About Animal Man, because I think I bought the 1 through 26 Grant Morrison. That's my favorite run of all time,
mm-hmm.
And I can't believe it's. I've been waiting for a new Animal Man book, so hopefully Lemire can capture a little bit of that magic and make it his own, because that's just fantastic stuff. If
do you think he'll be able to pick it up and keep the storyline from that Grant Morrison run going? Like,
I don't see. It went on for like 90 issues, issues, and I think Peter Milligan took over after Grant Morrison left.
The threads that were introduced there.
It just got so convoluted, and I dropped it after so long. But
the ideas that were introduced in there, like Animal Man being a family man.
Yeah, I just don't want it to be too dark. I just don't want it to be too dark. And the guy, it's okay.
I was just going to say, in the last miniseries, he lost his powers, though. Right, and that Animal Man movie last year.
That's okay. Yeah, it's a relaunch.
Yeah.
You know,
they
can do whatever they want.
It's actually not about him. It's about his kid.
It's about his daughter getting powers and him dealing with that.
Yeah.
I have no idea if that's true or if
that's... that's what the one thing said about it.
Okay.
What do you think about it, Dave?
I don't know. I'm sure it'll be good because Lemire is such a great writer. But I don't know. I'll have to wait on that. I don't know if I like the idea of Maxine getting powers. I'd rather just you know, Buddy being a family man and dealing with all this weird stuff that goes on in his life. That's the kind of book I want to read, but I'm willing to give it a shot. I can't wait.
I know this will make Colin happy with the dark stuff here. My buddy Chris, who comes in the store, only gets a book or two a month, but when I showed him that day's announcements, he's like, oh, I'm going to try all of those. It's something that at least DC has done. Mm-hmm. At least I know, you know, he's not a big fan of superhero books. So he saw these and he's like, oh, yeah, this is right up my alley. I'll give them all a try.
And that's one thing that I'm looking at this, the variety. Not everything, you know, like today's announcement, a lot of people are like, oh, okay, you know, Legion Lost. But I'm looking at Fabian Nicieza and Pete Woods. That's awesome. Legion Superheroes still got Paul Levitz doing a book. The new Teen Titans with Lobdell, but bringing in Brett Booth from Top Cow.
There's something for everybody.
Yeah. Static Shock, John Rosen. Who's not, who's, yeah, but he's crushing Zombie right now, which is a cool book. I don't know if that one's going to survive this. But yeah, Scott McDaniel writing and drawing with John Rosen. And we'll leave the last book for last. But, What I like is that there is something for everybody, and that's something Marvel doesn't have. Marvel doesn't have that horror line, really. They don't have
their... almost like imprints. Almost.
Yeah. But you can say, you know, I only like the dark stuff, but you can still get that. You know, and Vertigo is still always out there. So there was a poll where somebody online, where somebody was saying, you know, are your customers more Marvel or DC? I'm like, well, no, there's really not a break like that. Because you can be DC but not want superheroes. Whereas Marvel, you can't really. They don't have that niche. It's either pretty much superheroes or nothing. And not that that's bad. But I like the variety that DC is throwing out here.
Well, I'm a big Marvel guy, obviously. But you're right. Marvel, the thing I like about Marvel is they're grounded characters. But pretty much all their characters are grounded characters, and they're dark and gritty. There isn't really any, you know, ray of light in the Marvel universe.
Oh, the new Daredevil is going to be happy and fun. Okay. Don't worry.
I'm sure.
Because he hasn't been dark and gritty for 100-some issues. But, and okay, the last issue, Hawk and Dove, Sterling Gates, who I like, Rob Liefeld. Very conflicted. I mean, it's kind of neat that he's going back to his origin where he started, but, man, I don't know where they're going with this. Now, granted,
his art style is where he started, too.
Where, what is?
His art style.
Well, yeah, so maybe now exactly he can change. And then we have 13 unknown titles still to go.
What about Teen Titans?
Teen Titans, yeah. That's what I said about Brett Booth. I was very excited to see him doing a major book.
Teen Titans seems to be one of the books that is most hit by this relaunch.
Yes.
Because
the characters... Be teen angst.
Yeah, it above all the books, really harkens back to the 90s Marvel, you know, everything's in excess type book, which is kind of disappointing to see that even being released like that.
I'm scared. That's my short summary, but especially with the Young Justice book, cartoon, which I love. I mean, that's a great intro to these characters. That's very, you know, accessible and fairly iconic. And then this looks like not that.
I think it's marketed to the same audience that was watching the Teen Titans cartoon during the early part of last decade, where now they're a little bit older, they're looking for something a little risky, and something that looks totally different than what their older brother was reading, or their dad was reading. And that's it. There's some cool ideas going into it, too, like the Red Robin redesign with the wings.
I don't mind that. It looks like Talon.
I don't mind.
Anybody know
who
Talon is?
No.
No.
Exactly. I like too many DC books.
Did you invent that character?
No, he was he's Earth 2 Owlman's Robin. Never mind.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Fair enough.
I don't mind the Red Robin costume change at all. It's some of the other characters on that cover that just look terrible. Wonder Girl.
Remember those other Wild Storm characters?
Yeah, Super Thief, Wonder Girl. Yeah, so I.
Super Thief.
That's what it said in the text. Yeah.
So maybe she's the Flashpoint Wonder Girl.
Yeah, could be.
Right?
Could be.
I mean,
sure.
Anything you can't explain, like why it's out of character, right? Could they be the Flashpoint version?
And the other thing everybody's got to remember is they're taking the Grant Morrison approach to this. They're throwing a bunch of stuff out there, going to see what sticks. Some of this stuff in 6 months may not be there anymore. Or they may get such an uproar about Teen Titans that, you know, they relaunch it again.
Yeah, they'll just give us 6 more miniseries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's no guarantee that any of these books are there to stay for any length of time.
But I really like DC's... You know, first I was, you know, it was like, wow, that's pretty bold doing 52 new books. But after seeing them, it's like, okay, you know... The level of excitement overall I'm seeing from it is outstanding.
The only downfall is them releasing them all in September.
Yeah, I was just
saying. That's a lot of number one books for people to pick up.
That's the Marvel editor's critique as well. Most of those guys have been saying that, too, that the one thing that they wouldn't do is that.
Yeah. As a consumer, I'd rather have 13 new books a month.
Yeah.
Not 52, because...
But it's also not all new books. I mean, a lot of them, they're just simply replacing other books.
But new storylines, new creative teams.
Right, but if you've been getting, you know, like...
Batman.
No, but I was just going to say how many new DC books came out this week, but to try to figure that out right now.
I guess to me
but I'm just saying, a lot of it is just simply replacing. There are going to be some new, But it's not like you're getting 13 new ones every week that you weren't getting before.
But like someone like me, who doesn't get a lot of DC stuff now, and on a limited budget when it comes to buying my comics and stuff, and I really want to try the stuff from the Dark, which is going to take away from me maybe picking up the additional Batman books I want.
Sure.
I'm really excited about a Catwoman book coming out, but it may be the straggler on my list that I don't pick up because I want to get this something else.
Sure,
because they're all coming out at once. If they came out in a little bit of an increment, maybe one of the Dark books that I was getting no longer, exists or something, it flops and it's canceled, then I can go, oh, well, Catwoman's coming out, I'll just pick that up instead. You can't do that when they're all coming out in the same month.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot to ingest as a consumer, right?
Yeah.
It's 52 new books, creative teams, storylines, right? It's a lot to take in, right?
I don't know how to get into this conversation.
Yeah, because you just chick one of each, so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you got... For the last 10 years, I got every superhero book from Marvel and DC, so I get about 110 books a month. So.
Yeah, Nick, I'm close to that. I don't read quite everything you do.
But, right, but again, it's not... Like I said, they're not all new. A lot of them are
frankly, yeah, I can get off my brain of everything happened. Well, not everything, but not as much that happened in the past. And just sort of, take it in fresh.
If I didn't have a budget,
I'd get everything
that comes in because I love reading.
That's the challenge as a consumer. That's the challenge as a reader, that I want to read every single thing that comes out, but I don't have the budget or the time. But if I was in charge of this relaunch, I would scale everything back post-Flashpoint and make every single book matter because there would only be 10 books. You guys want to hear my list of 10 books?
Sure.
Yeah. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern, JLA, Teen Titans, Grifter, because he's grounded, and Action Comics and Detective Comics.
Okay, but that's two books a week. I couldn't make a living selling two books a week.
Everybody was buying every single
one
of those books.
It won't happen. Because
everybody is not a number that increases that much.
Right.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I like the idea of 52 number ones. But maybe
I like it too because it's something for everybody. That's
that's how I'm looking at it.
Maybe six a week for so many weeks or something.
Maybe.
Wait, what, Sean?
Oh, interesting.
I'm saying if they had 10 issues, even at $4.99, I'd just wait till they could do a trade for every month. That would be awesome. And you could just keep up with the whole universe.
Okay, yeah.
And like with Action and Detective, they could tell any of those other stories. You don't have to have Superman and Batman in Action and Detective.
People expect it at this point, though.
Yeah.
You don't have to, but...
Nobody expected them to relaunch everything from number one. They don't have to do anything.
You relaunch it and have, the first arc Detective have the Dead Man story in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, sure,
I thought
the
most exciting thing in Detective was when Batwoman took over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So besides me and Nick, who else is going to buy all 52 number ones?
You'll buy lots.
To be perfectly honest with you, and I'm not a DC guy, but to be perfectly honest with you, I probably will buy one of every of the first issues just to see what I like and what I don't.
I'm going to get them bound.
Shocking.
Number ones.
Two volumes.
DC September Omnibus.
But
volume 1 and volume 2.
Not a branch.
I had 52 done in 2 volumes and Trinity in 2 volumes. One volume is just, it's too much. And I'm not anal enough to go in and actually cut out the ad pages and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Wow.
But it's kind of funny because we were all, as retailers, complaining about having to figure out how to order 16 Flashpoint minis and one shots and all this, and now all of a sudden that seems like child's play. But just to segue into that, what is everybody thinking about Flashpoint? Well, you probably know my opinion. I'll get to that later. I don't want to sway anybody. But going around, what is everybody? Well, you're not reading it, so you don't count.
I wasn't going to read it, but after Colin convinced me to pick up number one, I think it's the better of the two events. And I'm mostly a Marvel guy historically.
It's been pretty good. I like how. Yeah, it's not Bruce Wayne, it's Thomas. It's a whole different spin on it. The end of the second one was fantastic, where Flash kind of recreated his powers, and he looked like a fucking zombie.
Yeah.
He's all burned up, and he's just...
Is he dead? Is Flash going to be Wally West now? Yeah.
Right, or even because they made that big deal about Kid Flash, said Bart Allen, said he's not supposed to be in that time frame. That's his fault. Maybe he'll even pick it up or something.
Mm-hmm. Because that was one of the things I remember in the Teen Titan thing, is it says somebody wearing a Flash costume, calling themselves Kid Flash. So it's like, okay, what's that? Sorry. Joe, have you been reading it?
I have.
Okay.
And I did like Flashpoint. I expected not to, but the cliffhangers at the end of number one, the cliffhanger at the end of number two, it got me.
I have not been reading Flashpoint, but having read the first couple issues of Fear Itself, I can only assume that it is a better read than Fear Itself. That being said, though, you almost had me talked into buying Flashpoint until they announced the relaunch. And then I decided, you know what, I'll just wait, get a trade of Flashpoint later, and I'll just start with the relaunch.
It was kind of funny. I was talking with somebody about this yesterday. How I was talking about how in Day Tripper, I don't think it worked as a trade like it did in the issues, because you didn't have that month wait for the next one. And I think Flashpoint is almost one of those as well, because I think the wait for the next issue, when you hit that, it's not Bruce Wayne, it's Thomas, you wanted that next issue right away, but you had to wait.
But see, I did look through the first issue while it was here, and got to that point, and I was like, eh, it's Thomas. I didn't care.
Oh, see, but you didn't. But you flipped through it. You didn't read the issue. You didn't see, why is this Batman so angry? The Batman was definitely different from Bruce. So all of a sudden you get to that point. You wanted to know more. Okay, great. Here comes number two. Here comes the Batman book. The Batman Flashpoint outsold Batman, the last issue of Batman for me. Wow. So it's not just a case of Batman fans picking it up. It's a case of Flashpoint and it striking a chord and the way number two ended. Now you want to read number three right now. So this wait is going to make it even better.
But now that they've announced the Batman titles...
Yeah.
And obviously the Thomas Wayne character is not making it through.
Okay.
So,
but you're not reading it. And the whole point, the reason he's going along with Flash is to change that so that he dies and Bruce lives. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can see that being a positive the way things should. So it's driving towards that.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I think I can pick up the 52 issues and get into those books without having read Flashpoint.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm just saying Flashpoint has been a real fun ride. I just finished up last week's books last night and reading World of Flashpoint. I put it off thinking, oh, this is going to be the weak one of the group. I enjoyed that one probably as much as the other.
Who's Tracy?
Tracy 13.
Who's
13? She's a... 13 starter. Yeah, there you go. No, she is a, what was it, an urban mage. She's one of the magicians, but she gets her power from cities.
Okay.
Only because I looked it up on Wikipedia because I didn't really know who she was either. But I thought that was really good.
I thought she was going to be another one of those DC created just for that.
No, she's been around. No, she's been. She was a big into Blue Beetle.
Okay.
In the Blue Beetle run. So, but as far as just a fun ride, whereas Fear Itself just feels to me like I'm trudging.
Well,
is the next one coming?
I canceled Fear Itself because I couldn't stand it.
I think they're different. I think Flashpoint is kind of fun and edgy, whereas Fear Itself is good, but I feel depressed after I
read it. Yeah, and haven't... It's been so long of that. You know, since I opened in the middle of Civil War, and then after Civil War, we had everybody in hiding, and then we had Secret Invasion and Dark Reign, and it's like... Oh, and they said, oh, Heroic Age, everybody's happy, and now we're back to the dark and moody and depressing.
See, I'm one of those readers that I have a tendency to do this. I'll go strictly Marvel for a while, and then I'll get so tired of being depressed all the time from reading their books that I'll jump to strictly DC, and I'll read those for a while, and then I'll get so sick and tired of everybody being, you know, the hero worship in the books and stuff that I'll jump back to Marvel.
I'm kind of like where you're at, okay? Because I've been following all of the events over these past couple years. When Flashpoint and Fear Itself were announced, I was feeling like it was more the same, all right? When they announced the relaunch, that really added to my enjoyment of Flashpoint on top of the cliffhangers that I mentioned a minute ago. But what I really wanted to come in here and talk to you guys about was another book entirely. Have you guys been following G.I. Joe at all?
Yes.
No.
Oh, man. Even two weeks behind, but yes. If you've never read G.I. Joe before, the stuff that they're doing at IDW right now with the G.I. Joe Cobra book and leading into the War of Cobra is insane. It's amazing, all right? So over the last 2 years, they've been setting up what they're doing now, all right? Like, we talk about how it seems like some companies are flying on the seat of their pants, just making it up as they go along. This has been long-term planning, okay? And you know it has, because Hasbro controls the G.I. Joe characters. So IDW had to go to Hasbro and present 2 years' worth of storylines that were going to culminate in what they're doing now, okay? And they told this amazing storyline over the course of something like 12 issues in G.I. Joe Cobra plus another 5-issue miniseries. But they did all of the stuff that we love about Marvel and DC, that Marvel and DC have been doing lately, but they're doing it with a property that we all grew up loving, using a character, Chuckles, okay? Chuckles did not get a lot of action in the cartoon. He was not a loved G.I. Joe character of mine, at least, growing up. But he's definitely my favorite G.I. Joe now, all right? Because they told this story where Chuckles infiltrated Cobra, and it was a story about his subterfuge, and the way that Cobra manipulated him, okay? And there was a huge story beat in the first miniseries where they killed one of the only female G.I. Joes, all right? But it served the purpose of the story, and it really marked this story as something different than anything else on the racks and any other G.I. Joe story that's been told before, okay? And it's kind of turned into a story of revenge where Chuckles is taking his revenge, or he took his revenge in the trade that was released today, and then the storyline's picking up from there in the books that are on the racks now.
It's good. I mean, I've been enjoying it as a lifelong G.I. Joe fan. It's much better than what you had it before, Devil's Due.
Yeah,
the Devil's Due stuff was just awful.
They kind of did it in an Image style, right?
Yeah, and this stuff's been really good.
I'm going to say number two of the Marvel run was my last G.I. Joe.
Colin, I'm with you. I'm thinking, and I don't disagree for a second that the stuff over there is awesome, but I think you have to be of a certain generation for the G.I. Joes as a character or as characters or heroes, action heroes, to resonate. So when I was growing up, G.I. Joe was a 14, I think it was either 12 or 14 inch action figure.
It's a Barbie doll.
No, hey, don't say that. But my first one did not have Kung Fu Grip, I can tell you that.
The one thing I'll say is that I think they took too much time building that story because those G.I. Joe books early on weren't selling well other than the G.I. Joe Cobra book. The G.I. Joe book wasn't...
Origin didn't do well.
And G.I. Joe Origins didn't do well to the point where they had to bring back Larry Hama to write the G.I. Joe Real American Hero. I mean, that was definitely a grab at sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what, though? The Cobra book was the showcase.
Yeah, it was. Was that Christos Gage?
Yeah. And Andy Smith, the editor, had a lot to
do. Yeah, he's not on any of the DC books. That's interesting.
Is he Marvel exclusive?
Oh, he might
be.
Who knows?
I don't
have a scorecard.
When you talk about creators in the DC thing, the one I'm disappointed in, and it's all rumor at this point, is no Brian Wood.
He has stuff coming on. He's no longer exclusive, but he did say he has stuff coming. He emailed us to talk about Northlanders was canceled, but they're giving him 10 issues to wrap it up, and it's going to end at 50. So I think that's unbelievable that they'd give a creator 10 issues to wrap up their storyline.
That is, but
no, 50 is great. I think that's fantastic.
I think he decided to do it on his own, though. I think he wants...
Yeah, and he says he has more stuff coming. I think they canceled it, and he kind of said, well, can I wrap this up? And he says the next one's going to be a one-shot, then a 9-issue story arc.
Because Northlanders
has
been incredible.
Yeah, it's a great book.
The comments I've read from him were, I have more Viking stories to tell. I don't know if it'll be called Northlanders.
Yeah, so, I mean, he can do a book anywhere.
He is one of the writers that has been, pretty much the Vertigo line. That is just incredible.
Because the big rumor was he was going to have Supergirl. Is part of the relaunch.
Well, here's the thing. I think he probably wrote a pitch for Supergirl, someone else wrote a pitch, and they got the book.
Right.
That happened a lot. Like I said, I think that also happened with Hawkman.
Now Morrison, so far, all they've said is that he's going to be doing Batman Inc. in 2012.
And there's a rumor he's going to do a Superman. Like, again, and there's also a rumor that George Perez is going to write and draw a Superman.
I did see something on one of the sites. I don't know if it was Newsarama or Comic Book Resources during one of their articles where... they said that it is a definite that he is not doing a Superman.
Okay. Well, like I said, we'll probably know Superman tomorrow, guess.
Well, I thought that was in the...
Yeah.
Do you want CBR news that just hit?
Sure.
Daredevil returns to New Avengers. September's issue 16, he will be joining the New Avengers, and it's breaking on USA Today.
That did not sound like a sigh of relief there.
But you get to see Mike Diodato draw him.
But, okay, I mean, did you see the other one that they saw where Frogman and Jessica Jones is going to be in a team?
It doesn't seem like
USA. Yeah, it's a Spider-Man event.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, the Frogman in, what was it, Spider Island Avengers. Yeah, I'm like, I think DC's going to own September.
Yeah.
Daredevil's really not a team guy. I don't get it. But I don't understand how they're bringing him back after he murdered someone on TV. So, you know, he's been disbarred, but he's restarting the law firm.
Mephisto's still out there.
That's true. I didn't think about Mephisto.
Wonder Woman killed somebody on TV.
He just showed up in Journey of the Mystery.
Yeah, but everybody forgot about him. So if she killed someone that doesn't exist, so
Bucky killed people and they let
him
off.
Bucky's dead. Leave him alone. Okay, this was something else I wanted to do.
Bucky didn't kill people. He was mind control.
Shush.
Well, that's the same. But that's the same thing about. I mean, that's the same thing about Daredevil, right? He had a demon.
Exactly.
What, Sean?
Are we allowed to talk about Bucky being dead again, or is he?
That's a week old. I think that's fair.
That's old news.
Yeah. Well, this was what I wanted to finish up with. Was what was your favorite book from the last week? I know Joe wanted to talk about G.I. Joe.
Yeah,
I can't say Fear Itself was my favorite book, but you know that was one of those that made me laugh only because here's a huge event in Marvel, and you know, slight problem with he's still in a Russian gulag in Captain America. How did he get out of there to be killed? But this DC news just dominated. Nobody's talking about Bucky being dead. I don't know if they care or don't care, but I'm not seeing it online. I'm not seeing it anywhere. Everything's really Flashpoint dominating the talk in the store. And DC dominating the talk online that I've been looking at least.
I think part of it, and stuff, and granted, nothing Marvel does right now is going to touch the hype that DC is getting with this relaunch and stuff. But I think part of it with Fear Itself, and I know I've said this to you before, Colin, is they pretty much telegraphed Bucky being killed again 3, 4, 5 months ago. So at this point, I think everybody was expecting it. It wasn't really a shock.
But is he really dead? I mean, it's...
Well, he's got a pretty big hole in his chest.
It's Johnny Storm-esque. You don't ever see the dead body.
Well,
you
he's on the cover. There's the cover for 4 right there on the door.
That could be an L&D. I mean...
What about Captain America Corps? Wasn't there going to be another...
Yes.
That's movie-related. Okay. Yeah, that's the tie-in with the new movie. That's all.
That is,
and of course, they want Steve back in the costume for when Captain America number one hits.
So my favorite book last week was Fear Itself, The Deep, because Namor gets his ass handed to him not once but twice, and I love it. Once by Atuma, and I forget who else did it, but towards the end, somebody else does it. He just smacks.
Has one of the hammers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But they just smack Namor around, and I loved it.
Okay, Nick, favorite book last week.
It's either Uncanny X-Force 11 or
Ooh, that
Moon
was
Knight
good.
2.
Okay.
Which one?
Okay.
Oh, Moon Knight
I didn't
2
read
was
Moon Knight
really,
yet.
Really good.
Okay, are Moon we Knight, I'll go with Moon Knight. Moon Knight was really, this new concept is really approachable and, more importantly, really, really different.
Are we allowed to really spoil different. It? Are we allowed to talk about what
Yeah, because it came out last week.
So
yeah, okay, so he's got multiple personalities, as he's always had, and he used to have these multiple personalities that he created, but now his multiple personalities have taken on the guise of Captain America, Spider-Man, and Wolverine. And they all three of them talk to him, you know, in his head. And then he can become one of them at will. And that means he takes on their characteristics, their speech pattern, their ethics, etc. Because he spent so much time with the Avengers and he's, you know, batshit crazy.
Okay, but that's kind of funny because this is taking on one of my favorite books from last year, which was Cowboy Ninja Viking.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So it's really sounding a lot like Cowboy Ninja Viking, and I know you're a Bendis file, so
yeah. But he has, I mean, the cool thing about Moon Knight is like he has like fake claws that he, you know, clamps on when he's Wolverine. He has like a, you know, when he goes into fights,
terrible web shooter.
Yeah,
terrible
right.
Web shooters.
I mean, it's just kind of cool that like it's like, oh, you know, they're talking like I'm the best suited for this mission. They're kind of arguing almost Deadpool-esque in their head. And then, you know, eventually goes in as Wolverine and starts getting kicked.
Okay.
That said, I really did like X-Force as well because
yeah,
Age of Apocalypse is a cool area to mine if you're a big X-Men fan. In fact, when I think of Flashpoint, why I like Flashpoint is because it's very, very similar to Age of Apocalypse, and that's something I like.
Yeah, I like the Wolverine Nightcrawler stuff. It made you feel. I thought that was good. We're running low on time, so I don't want to get cut. So let's just finish this up. Sean, favorite book from... Sean Wheatley, favorite book from last week.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, that's up there too for me.
I just I wish they'd stop with the backup stuff, because, I mean, personally, I'm not even reading it, and it just... I hate turning the page and going, oh, I have more, and it's not there.
Well, even in the main story in the front, and I won't spoil it, but I think they moved a lot of different threads forward, both for Spider-Man as the superhero, for Peter Parker at Horizon Labs, as Peter Parker the boyfriend, reintroducing some old villains that may be new, and I just thought there was a lot of stuff in there. I was kind of digging the art.
My only problem with that book, and it's not that book, is the two that preceded it. The two Avengers Academy books and the really cartoony covers. I lost one third of my sales from the issue before the Avengers Academy to that one. It dropped by, I think, 12 copies, all because of the cartoony art, and people dropped the book. So I wish they would really stop doing that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I got Amazing Spider-Man last week, and I cannot even remember what happened in it.
Okay.
I was going to say that
Anti-Venom was in it.
Okay. I was going to say Amazing Spider-Man,
okay.
too.
Last week, Dan Slott's great. You got Peter waking up in his girlfriend's house. You got he invented the motorcycle helmet. We got to see...
It's packed.
It was just jam-packed with stuff. Peter Parker got published.
Mr. Negative's a great villain.
Voice-activated web shooters.
Don't quite get that, but
it's,
okay.
It's not that the issue wasn't good that I can't remember. I've been trying to get caught up on my trades, so I've been reading a lot of the trades since last week.
Favorite trade you read last week?
I've been reading up on Preacher, so that's all I've been reading lately. Is Preacher, trying to get it finished.
Okay, we'll wrap. We'll wrap this up. Shane,
Flashpoint 2 or the Ebon Sword tied in.
Okay, yeah, those are both good. Yep.
Yeah, the Ebon Sword was surprisingly good.
Yeah, Uncanny X Force.
Yeah, X Force was good. Okay, well, hey, look, we wrapped it up without running out of time this time, so that's awesome. So I can actually finish this. But thanks, everybody, for coming. We'll try to do another one next week. I'm not 100% positive because then I'm going on vacation. So I'll let everybody know. But otherwise, this was Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 4. So thanks, everybody, for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.